these gals, and I'll start with Rebecca Harshall here at the end, and she's going to be attending Wesleyan High School next year, and I think that's really neat. She loves a lot of things. She indicated she loves to read, but I know there's a lot more than that. On Wednesday night, she shared her faith story, as did all of these gals, and she highlighted this time when she went to Autumn Leaves, which is a memory care facility, and with a little encouragement, went to a grand piano and used the gifts, her talents, to play a song that she had memorized. And the thing that I got out of that was, Rebecca, how much you enjoyed using your gifts from God to bless others. You keep doing that. Okay. Olivia Privilet, that she's going to attend Cambridge High School? Mm-hmm. Yep. Now, this gal loves a lot of things, reading, drawing, but what she didn't put down was she loves to sing, and she's got a beautiful voice, and I think we ought to consider her for our praise team in going into the future here. She really does, but here's what I want you to know. She's got a personality that is a song, and it sings, and it is just beautiful. Next to me is Celia Raison. And Celia, you're going to be going to Marist, right? Oh boy, that's a neat school. And you're interested in a lot of things. One is marching band. But I think you also have a gift of expression. I almost think it's poetic. I think your paper that you shared, your faith story, was crafted. And there was one line in there that I want to remember. When you said of your own confession of faith, that Jesus is a heartbeat to me. He's your heartbeat. And I thought, wow, what a neat way to express one's faith, connection, relationship to Jesus Christ. So thanks for giving that to me. I may use it in a sermon coming up sometime. This is Riley Setzer. Riley's going to be going to South Forsyth High School. She says she's pretty shy, but she's a thespian. She's in drama. She loves to sing, and that's all good. But what I got from you, and what I know about you, is that you have a very sensitive heart. And everybody gets this, but I think you have it in real intensity. For friends that you have that don't have a relationship yet with Jesus Christ. And so this gal has become an inviter. And she would invite her friends to Faith Inc. events that were open to all and the like. And because of that, one of her close friends become very interested in being part of a church and has led kind of her family to that. And it all started from your heart to that heart of your friend. That's really cool. And I'm going to say last but not least, this is Mackenzie Timmerman. You're going to go to Denmark High School in the United States, right? Okay. Good. Now, Mackenzie puts that she loves playing with her dog. Okay. But I listened, and here's what I found out about your loves. You're a good friend. And so the folks that are part of your web of relationship in your school and neighborhood are people that you are an extender to. Now, in my house, I just recently had a Wi-Fi extender put in, okay? You're like that with the love of Jesus Christ, and you extend it through helping, serving, staying and standing with your friends. Wow, these are beautiful women, aren't they?
They are.
And God has blessed them a great deal. Please. Okay. I want to give everybody an opportunity to just greet one another, but especially our young confirmands as they return to their seat. Please rise and greet those. We were at war. Now, their next target was one of the shipbuilding capitals of our nation, that little suburb of heaven called Baltimore, Maryland. And they targeted it because they wanted to destroy naval vessels there and the ones that were being built. And so they left the Potomac River and sailed through the Chesapeake Bay toward the port of Baltimore, where there is this little narrow throat right there. And in order to get to the city and the shipbuilding, they had to go through that throat. Now, the United States, in the past, had built a fort there, and it was called Fort McHenry, and this is what it looks like, and the throat is to the right of that fort. Now, just a week before they got to this place, a lawyer from Baltimore named Francis Scott Key was given permission to board the flagship of this naval fleet from Britain in order to negotiate the release of a friend of his who had been taken captive. He was successful in his negotiations. But because he was on board, and because he could see the fleet was heading toward Baltimore, he was put into temporary imprisonment on board that ship. They wouldn't release him because he was afraid that he would let our militia and Navy know. So it was on September the 13th in the year 1814 that 16 man of war of the British fleet began a 25-hour bombardment of Fort McHenry that Francis Scott Key watched from the side of the flagship of the fleet from Great Britain. And as he watched through the night, he realized that this fort couldn't hold. And in fact, he was writing down some lines, and he said, it was if, during the bombardment, it was if as Mother Earth opened and vomited fire and brimstone. And yet, at the dawn's early light, what he saw after that 25-hour bombardment was not a British flag, but an American flag flying over Fort McHenry. And so he went on to compose a poem that then would later become our national anthem. And it opens with a question, and it closes with a question in that first verse. Oh, say, can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming? And then it ends, oh, say, does that star-spangled banner yet wave? Or the land of the free and the home of the brave? That question in the anthem still gets asked, doesn't it? And we have an interesting way as Americans in responding to the question. We sing. We sing. And in singing, as the flag is recognized as an emblem of some of the things our nation stands for or aspires to, that is a place of freedom, a place of optimism, we are, in a sense, confirming that indeed we are Americans and we hold these truths to be self-evident and the like. Of course, our confirmation of that will often take other kinds of sacrifices and giving. Okay. So, like the national anthem, and I address now you five just on this sentence, have you noticed on Confirmation Sunday how many questions were asked of you? There were a lot of questions, weren't there? But we went over them last night, and you understood the substance of where we were going with that. And so, really, we're asking everybody, and our confirmands, and the pastor preaching, oh, say, can you see by the dawn's early light? But we're thinking about a different dawn, aren't we? You see, there was an array of enemies aligned against humanity. Do you know these enemies? Sin and the guilt that it brings and the judgment that follows under justice. Death, which unfortunately our own CTS community has tasted again this week as it separated us from one of our beloved members. Sin and death, and the one who is a liar and a destroyer from the beginning, who would seek to deceive you into thinking that there is no God, the devil. Sin, death, and the devil are enemies aligned against us, and we find out that they are overpowering. But there was a man who entered from eternity, a side door from eternity, born in Bethlehem of a virgin. And this man came to stand against these enemies. And you can almost hear the prelude to the battle as he would say things like, "Destroy this temple and in 3 days I will raise it up." He put the gauntlet out and a terrific battle ensued. And it looked like in the night, as he died in battle, that our enemies and opponents won. But 3 days later, in the dawn of that day, we found out that there was only one man standing, Jesus Christ, Lord, and also our Savior. And I ask you again, oh, say, can you see by the dawn's early light how much you were loved and how much God has given to you in His Son, Jesus Christ, for your present and your future? Wow. As I said with the national anthem, there are some odd ways sometimes that we give confirmation or confession in response to the questions that really demand and desire an answer. And so to me, it's kind of interesting that this morning, what did we do? But we gathered, and if you listened carefully to the lyrics of the songs as we sang together, we were confirming, we were confessing their very faith in the one who stood against our enemies and was victorious. Today, in kind of a formal way, you have confessed and confirmed your faith in Jesus Christ. And so we're going to continue to think through, oh, say, can you see? But we want our confirmands, as we make this connection, to take home a memento. We couldn't afford the sunglasses, so we're giving you a poster. Okay. And on these sunglasses, you will see on one lens the story I told you about Fort McHenry and our national anthem. But on the other side, you'll see Jesus Christ above a cityscape. He's Lord. And we want you to remember, oh, say, can I see by the dawn's early light my God, my Lord, and my Savior? I think I need to reiterate one thing. There are questions that kind of demand an answer, and the ways that we answer those questions are interesting. But as with our country and our national anthem and flag, so with this time of confessing your faith in Christ, confirmation is made more with your life than with your lips. That's true for all of us. Now, the lips are important, and you use them this morning. Romans chapter 10 tells us this, that if you confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. But remember, that's with the lips. Jesus said, not everybody who says to me, Lord, Lord, that uses their lips to say, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. But who will? He goes on. The one who does the will of my Father in heaven. And that's with your life, you see. That's with your life. I think one of the most important verses to remember about the will of your Father in heaven is what Jesus said to those who said, I confirm that I am your disciple and will follow you. And Jesus said, well, by this all men will know that you are my disciples, that you love one another. So loving the Lord your God with all your heart, strength, mind, and soul, and then loving your very visible neighbor are the ID marks with your life that confirms what your lips say that Jesus is Lord. You know, I heard all your faith stories, duly impressed. I sat there with incredible joy. I enjoyed each one, couldn't wait for the next one. Each of you spoke out of your own personality, your own reflection. It was good. What I'd say to you very simply is, remember now, there's more of your faith story to write. You're probably what? 14, 15? You've got a lot of faith story to write. So do all of us. Some a little less than others, okay? What is the ink of our faith story? It is the confession we make with our lives. That's the ink. And you know what? We just need a community of faith around us. A community of faith that helps us to see. Oh, say, can you see? Well, sometimes I need help to see. And we need a community around us that helps us to see Jesus and all that it means to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. And then, when we see, we can invite others to come and see. But we need that community. I need that community, and I think you do too. The community that we need is the kind of community that surrounded Thomas when we found Thomas in some doubt. Remember the story? He wasn't there when Jesus first came to the 10 disciples in that room. And they told him all excitedly about it. And he said, whoa, wait a minute. Unless I see the nail prints, put my hand in his side, I will not believe. Thomas had some doubts going, didn't he? What we need is a community today that was like the community that surrounded Thomas. Because you know what they didn't say to him? Well, then you can just exit to the right here. We don't want you around here. No. They didn't kick him out because he had doubts. They surrounded him with their own confession. They were gentle. They were patient. And 7 days later, Jesus appeared again. And what did he say to Thomas? See? Feel? No. Now, this is a sophisticated point, so try to hang with me. What Jesus was doing at that point is what he does for all of us. What Jesus Christ has done, the story that our songs and that I just related to you about defeating our enemies, is not some kind of Game of Thrones fantasy, some Lord of the Rings, Middle Earth kind of fantasy. What Jesus has done has happened in history. It is associated with real places, real people, real governments, real rivers, real mountains. He really did enter the side door of eternity. And he was known. And so when he appears to Thomas, that represents what he does for all of us. That he affects our salvation in point of history, so that we can see and know that this is real for us, just like Thomas said, this is real for me. And so Thomas, he goes on to do what? He goes on to say, my Lord and my God. And what the Gospel of John says near the end, it says, Jesus Christ in history did many other signs that are not recorded in this book, in this Bible. But John says, I've recorded these things that happened historically that you might believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and by believing in him, have life in his name. And life in his name is as real as life right now when you trust Jesus Christ. See? My Lord and my God. And Thomas went on to what? To follow Jesus as his disciple. At that point, from that point on, he was just dying to live. He wanted to live. And Jesus told him how a disciple will live. If you're truly my disciples, you will take up your cross daily and follow me. That means, as Jesus said in another way, if you want to find your life in this world, lose it. Because if you try to grab what the world says is life, and that's all you have, you're going to wind up empty and disappointed. But if you follow me in the way of my life and lose your life for my sake in the kingdom, and I would point to each one of you in the ways that you expressed yourself in your faith story and all the rest of you behind them, that those acts of generosity, those acts of servanthood, inviting the friend, all those things that you shared, like playing the piano, when you did those things, you felt life. So do thousands and millions more, and you'll have an abundant life. Thomas did. Thomas is the disciple that took the gospel to southern India, a place that's close to my heart, as we have a mission partner there. And he spread the gospel, and he lived life, and he probably ate Indian food. It wasn't so great. And then he lost his life because he was put to death for the sake of the gospel. Probably won't happen to us, but you see how willing he was. He was dying to live. So what's my prayer for you? I told you it was all three lessons. Here's my simple prayer for you. It's as Paul prayed. It's my prayer for you five. It's my prayer for every one of you. And I hope it's your prayer for me because I need it as much as anybody else in the room. But did you hear how Paul prayed? He starts by saying, I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We heard of their faith. I've heard of your faith. And the love that you have for all the Christians, all the saints. Okay? Then he goes on, and I keep on giving thanks for you. And then he says, remembering you in my prayers. And what does he pray for? That the eyes of your heart may see, may be enlightened. Oh, say, can you see? Paul is praying that you will see. And what will you see? I ask questions that deserve, almost demand an answer. What do the eyes of your heart see concerning Jesus Christ? And Paul prays that he hopes that you will see that Jesus is raised from the dead, but not only that, seated at the right hand of God, and that he is above every rule, dominion, authority, and power, and he is above every name that is named, both in our own time, past, future, and forever. And that he has at his feet all things, and he is the head of over everything. He is the CEO of the universe. He is Lord of everything for the sake of you and me. Now, here's what I think you would see in all of this that Paul says. You will see in Jesus Christ the most glorious person who has ever lived. And to think that he became a nothing on the cross for you and me. I hope you see it. With the eyes of your heart enlightened, I hope you see who you are, because it's also part of Paul's prayer. I hope you see in your life with Jesus Christ that you are a somebody and that you're becoming a somebody. Because oftentimes the world will tell you, you are a nobody. But Jesus Christ says, I'm making you into a somebody. And what does that mean? He uses this phrase, that you might know the hope to which you have been called. And here's the Christian hope. It's a living hope. That I am becoming a somebody through the ordinary days of my life. I'm becoming a somebody who is in the image of my Savior Jesus Christ. I'm becoming more and more like him. And how does he build a somebody to be more and more like him? Well, he uses just ordinary things like disappointments, failures, successes, 400 traffic. How does he create character on 400? He molds you into a more patient, maybe a more generous, a less agitated, angry, individual. He can use everything in your life to mold you into becoming a somebody. But that's not all. With the eyes of your heart, he wants you to see how valuable you are. Because even as the world will sometimes say you're a nobody, it'll also say you are worthless. This scripture uses a very interesting phrase. Just hold with me now. It says that we are the riches of God's glorious inheritance. Now, you know what an inheritance is, right? It's the riches that somebody else gives to you that then you have. But what this scripture says is that God has an inheritance that is His, and we are it. Meaning you are the riches of God in His sight. Meaning you are so valuable in His sight. He just relishes you. The last thing that Paul prays for that he hopes that you see about yourself is that you have been invested with a power that does not emanate from you. It doesn't come from your personality or character, your prowess or your successes or your family or your money or your education or your accomplishments. It comes as a gift from God. And he says it this way, that the same power that was at work raising Christ from the dead is now given to you so that you can work. And so I wonder, what do you see about yourself? I hope you see that you're becoming a somebody, that you're very valuable. And the last thing I hope you see about yourself, why are you living? It's a good question. The prayer answers it. You're living in order to take that power of the resurrection that is gifted to you in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and to make a difference with it. Question. Where does the power of Christ's resurrection work best? In cemeteries. In places where there is already death, disappointment, failure, etc. If you heard the first scripture reading from Numbers 6, you recognized it as the benediction that we often say. Moses said, Aaron, put my name on the people of Israel by giving them my blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And we receive that blessing from God. Why are you living? So that you might put the name of Christ on others by becoming the blessing over them. You are alive as a conduit, as a way to express the wonderful blessing of God to others in the simplest but most meaningful ways that your life can express them. Oh, say, can you see? Can you see Christ? Can you see who you are in Him? Can you see why you are alive? That's a lot to see. We see it together. We help each other to see it. Christ's spirit of wisdom and revelation reveals it to us. We need to see it. Want to keep seeing it? Join us at Christ the Shepherd. We reach up to God in worship. We reach into one another in community that is supportive, helping one another see. And we reach out to a world that God so loves that cannot see. And we bless them so that they can come and see. Amen. We're going to move into this final blessing of confirmation. I ask you to rise and prepare with this hymn. Thank you.
Jesus, hope of the nations. Jesus, comfort for all who mourn. You are the source of heaven's hope on earth. Jesus, light in the darkness. Jesus, truth in each circumstance. You are the source of heaven's life on earth. In history, you lived and died. You broke the chains. You rose to life. You are the hope living in us. You are the rock in whom we trust. You are the light shining for all the world to see. You rose from the dead, conquering fear. Our Prince of Peace, you are joining us here. Jesus, our hope, living for all the world we see. Lord, we believe. Lord, we believe. Lord, we believe.
Okay.
Rebecca.
Rebecca, please.
Rebecca, your life verse is from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5 and 6. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words I command you today shall be on your heart.
Rebecca Harshall, God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, give you his Holy Spirit, the Spirit of wisdom and knowledge, grace and prayer, power and strength, sanctification and fear of God. And may your heart always see the love that God has poured out upon you in Jesus. And may your life reflect that love to the others around you. Amen. Please.
Olivia.
Olivia, please.
Olivia, your life verse is from Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 6. Be strong and courageous. Do not fear or be in dread of them, for it is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will not leave you or forsake you.
Olivia Brebele, God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, give you his Holy Spirit, the Spirit of wisdom and knowledge, grace and prayer, power and strength, sanctification and fear of God. May you never fear man. May you have great courage, because the Lord God has given you his Spirit to become who he wants you to be and to spread his goodness to others so that your life might be abundantly full of his life. Amen.
Celia, your life verse is from Romans chapter 8, verse 28. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose.
Celia Rezon, God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, give you his Holy Spirit, the Spirit of wisdom and knowledge, grace and prayer, power and strength, sanctification in the fear of God. And know that as you travel and journey through life, that the Lord will work all things for you to that which will most bless you and the world around you. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Thank you.
Riley, your life verse is from Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. I can do all things through him who strengthens me.
Rightly said, Sir God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, give you his Holy Spirit, the Spirit of wisdom and knowledge, grace and prayer, power and strength, sanctification, and the fear of God. You can do all things in the will of God through the strength that God gives you in the power of the resurrection, that same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Never doubt that. Always be open to receiving that. And bless many through your life, Riley. Amen. Mackenzie.
Mackenzie, your life verse is from Joshua chapter 1, verse 9. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go.
Mackenzie Timmerman, God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, give you his Holy Spirit, the Spirit of wisdom and knowledge, of grace and prayer, of power and strength, of sanctification and the fear of God. Mackenzie, who knows where you will go? But this you know. The Lord will go with you. May you be filled with his presence and his knowledge so that you can see at all times who is with you. God bless you. Very thankful for our five confirmands in this service. I'm also very thankful for Lisa Kelly, who's been their guide in nurturing that faith, and for Randy Potts, our minister of youth, and all of his preparation and investment in the faith of our youth. Thank you very much, both of you.